first thing I want to mention is a lot of times when people say, I want to study the Bible, okay, they're going to get the, and you have some churches that actually advertise this, okay, come and study the Bible with us and tell us, we'll read a passage and you tell us what you feel, okay? And yes, God gave us feelings, okay, but that's not how we approach a study of the Bible, because my feelings change. Okay, and they can change really rapidly. I can go from a real high to a real low, and it affects how I can. So that's not a reliable test. Now, we're people, okay? And a person has been defined by some theologians. You can tell people have intellect, okay? And on your sheet here, the intellect, okay, is the part of learning is distinguished from the power to feel and to will. The capacity for knowledge. So intellect has to do with knowledge. Okay. Then we have emotions, a natural instinctive state of mind deriving from one's circumstances, mood, or relationship with others. See how that can change? And volition is an act of making a choice or a decision, also a choice or decision made, or the power of choosing or determining the will. Now, what happens? The first indication that I have that something is going on in my life is usually my emotions, okay? I feel angry, I feel anxious, I feel upset, I feel good, I feel happy, and everything else, okay? But emotions are like on a traffic light. Okay, up here's you read. As soon as my emotions trigger in, okay, my emotions, what I need to do is stop, like on the traffic light, okay? Then the yellow light is that what's going on? I identify what the emotions are, and I ask myself, why am I choosing to feel that way? Okay, so then I need to go to the green light, okay? And the green light is where I develop a plan as to what I'm going to end up doing, okay, in the situation. How do I end up developing a plan? Most of us are so busy listening to the world, okay, or we have so much bombarding us from the world, we don't know what to listen to or who to listen to. So that's why we need to have one source that's absolute that we can go to. That's why we want to study the Bible, okay? What does the Bible say? What does God say is best for me through the scriptures? Then I can develop my plan. But I can't do that if I don't know what the scriptures end up saying. Okay? Now, true or false, and I'll give you an example, okay? True or false, how many of you were told the Bible says, okay, cleanliness is next to godliness? Mm-hmm. Have you heard that? Where is that found in the Bible? Okay. But how many people say that, right? Okay. Another good one is God helps those who help themselves. Where is that found in the Bible? But a lot of people firmly believe that it comes right out of the Bible. So when I hear something like that, I say, really? Could you please show that to me? I haven't seen that. I must have missed that when I was reading. Show it, please. I want to know where it is. So that's why we want to know what the Bible says. What's the mind of God? So what happens, the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Bible, each one of the books of the Bible, okay, to write what he wanted them to write, to tell us what we need to know for living a godly life, starting with salvation, and moving right through a daily plan of action for us, okay? Now, sometimes he's not going to say, you know, does God want me to get a red car or a green car? You're not going to find that. But you may find some principles governing everything that we're looking for in our daily life. You'll find that in the scriptures. And then what we do with that is then we can apply it. Then we can develop a plan. So the Bible is written for me, but it's not written about me, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not me only. What I want to do is learn, what does God say? What does God want me to do as I understand? So what we do is we ask the same Holy Spirit that inspired the writers to end up illuminating the word, okay? Illumine is to shine light on. So who better to ask for help than to ask the Holy Spirit? Okay, so we want to do that. So these are very, very basic principles for us to end up. Is everybody still with me, or is it, okay? Okay. If you're not, just let me know. Stop me, okay? And we'll slow down and explain things, okay? All right. Next, we have a reading from 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17. This is the reason why we end up studying the scriptures. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing that from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus, faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Okay, so let's look at just that paragraph. As for you, what are we to do? Read it once or continue? What's that reading say?
Continue.
In verse 14.
Continue,
okay? It's an ongoing process. Because I read the Bible through one time does not mean I get it. Okay, every time I discover a new truth from the Bible, it unlocks other scriptures in the Bible that I have trouble understanding. So it makes more sense. Then when I unlock a new truth again, it's going to open up the truth that I just learned, and it's going to keep working out. So we never finish with the Word of God. Okay, what are the two things in verse 15, the end of verse 15, that is good by the scriptures? Able to make you wise, yeah. For what?
For salvation through faith.
For salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, okay? See where that is in verse 15, okay? Mm-hmm. So the number one purpose, okay, John ends up telling us, but I wrote all these things to you so that you may know God. He wants us to have that personal relationship. That personal relationship ends up, when I fall in love with God, okay, it makes me want to obey God. It makes me desire to be in His Word. When I fall in love with God, it doesn't become a matter of rules and regulations. Okay, the Scriptures become a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it draws us closer to Him. Okay. And all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for, the second part of that, okay, the first one is salvation. In the scripture in verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for what four things?
Teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness.
Right. Teaching, reproof, correction, and training. Okay. So now I've got a question for you. Okay. What's the difference between the four of those?
They're all steps of one goal. They're all separate steps for the goal of learning and righteousness.
Correct. Yeah, good. Excellent.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, the first part is teaching. Okay? We're learning what God would have us to do in the Scripture. The second one is reproof. Okay, sometimes when I'm reading scripture, you know what? I get a very strong warning from the Holy Spirit that I need to change something in my life. He starts to work on me. That's why we start the reading. Whenever we're doing any kind of study, ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance. Okay, because he'll tell me what I need to correct in my life. He's not condemning. He's just warning us. You keep going in that direction, you're headed the wrong way. Okay. So then what does he do? He just doesn't leave us there for reproof, okay? And then for correction. Now what he does is, because I've learned that, he also shows me what it is that he wants me to do, okay, about that, okay, the correction. And then he trains us in righteousness, all right? That's the same pattern that we are called to follow as believers with one another, okay? It's not for me to stand, and I'll tell you, I was great at this when I first came to know the Lord back in 1979. I was great at doing what I'm telling you not to do, okay? And God really convicted me about that. I could take the Bible and I'd say, you know what you need to do in your life? You need to change this, and you need to do that, and you need to do something else, okay? And I could tell everybody else what they needed to do, and I was never applying it to me. So when I end up correcting somebody, okay, basically if I follow that pattern, I'm agreeing to become a mentor to that person. I'm not only going to tell you what you're doing wrong, okay, or what I believe that you're doing wrong according to the scriptures, in a loving, kind, compassionate way, because our goal is always to restore people. So what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to work towards helping you to understand why, from the scripture. I'm going to help you to understand what you are to do, what I believe the scriptures is calling you to do. And then I'm going to be there with you to walk through it with one. Like, I had a big deal. I smoked cigars in the pipe for like 27 years. And that included even when I was saved. I didn't know any better at that point. Well, I know people would tell me, you know, you're not supposed to smoke. Your body's a temple of the Holy. And then, but God worked on me. Now when I work with somebody that's struggling with the area of smoking, and praise God, just last Sunday, one lady that was in the last class that we had came up to, guess what? It's been 28 days now since I haven't had a cigarette. And we were able to rejoice and praise God, not because I condemned her to it, but I was encouraging her. And sometimes you may end up, I'm working with one person now, a relative of mine who's struggling with the area of smoke. I said, thank God that he allowed you not to have one cigarette today. You know how many you used to have. Then thank him for how many you didn't have the next day. And you keep, well, yeah, but now I blew it because I ended up saying, I went back and I had a cigarette. I said, okay. That's then. Did you tell God, I am sorry? God, I don't want to do this anymore. I need your help to do it. And I pray for the victory that you're going to give me. Because that's what happened to me. I had to pray to God to give me the victory in that area. So that's the pattern that we follow when we're helping one another. Okay. So what we're talking about is a dynamic Bible study. Okay. And I love this. The Thompson is in reference to the Thompson Chain Reference Bible here. Okay, it's a great day for a little child when he learns to feed himself, so it becomes a new era in his believer's life when he forms the habit of going daily to the original sources of spiritual truth for his own personal nourishment. Okay. First-hand knowledge of this. We started talking about it a little bit. I mentioned it before. Many Christians are satisfied to receive all of their truth filtered through the mind of a teacher, minister, or commentator, seldom or never going to the book of books for independent study. They inevitably become more echoes of the opinions of others. They are not grounded in the truth and are liable to be carried away by every wind of doctrine. You got to be careful because, like on TV, you know, some people are very convincing, and it's not only on TV. You got some around here too, like that, okay? I'll tell you send me $500 by faith, and God is going to end up blessing you immensely, and you're going to have health and wealth and all this kind of stuff. Be careful about this stuff. And these people are very, very convincing, because when Satan is working through somebody or using somebody, they can be very, very convincing, because Satan is like the prince of light. He pretends to be the prince of light, but he's not. That's another reason why I want to make sure that I understand the scriptures, okay? And the twofold purpose of the word, which we've already talked about, okay, according to 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17, is salvation and service. Two S's. Paul says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So what we want to do is observe. When we're studying the scriptures, we want to make some observations. We want to know how to ask the right questions. We want to write down discoveries and observations. And again, these are all on your notes. Okay? And the goal, number three, the goal of dynamic Bible study is applications. James 1:22. Okay, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Jeff?
I have lots to report about.
What's that?
Where is it? Paul says...
Okay.
Item 4.
You see number under A, the dynamic Bible study? Okay, do another number four. Paul says the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. An unsaved person, a person that does not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, can never fully understand what the Bible is teaching them. It's foolish to them because everything is going to be filtered through the world's view or Satan's view, okay? It's not going to be God's view. At the moment of salvation, we ask Jesus to come into our lives. He gives us, according to the book of Romans, he gives us the Holy Spirit, okay? So from that moment on, the Holy Spirit will help us to begin to understand. He'll help us to discern what it is that God is trying to tell us through the Scriptures, okay? So we need to have the Holy Spirit. That's why the two S's that we talked about earlier, salvation comes first, and then comes service, okay? Now, what happened is in the Garden of Eden, okay, there were two trees in the center of the Garden of Eden, right? Everybody understand, right? The tree of life, okay, which is, they could, Adam and Eve could participate from that all they want. They were not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of the fruit of good and evil, okay? Some teachers will end up saying, well, one's a dark colored apple that's rotten, and the other one's a red apple that's nice and shiny, you know, because the Bible says, then for you, Satan told Eve, okay, for the day that you eat thereof, you're going to become like God, knowing right from wrong. And they chose to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So knowledge became for them their downfall. That's where the sin ended up coming into their lives. And that we received the sin nature because of that action. Now, we also become sinners along the way, too, okay? We do things that aren't always right. We make mistakes along the way, okay? So that's why we want to understand what the Scriptures end up saying in our lives. Okay, is everybody still with me? Okay. I had one class, I asked that question one time, and they're like, you're going to have to do better than that to lose us. Okay. Okay, and number four, when we observe and ask questions, we're going to do a systematic study, and that's what we're going to be doing, okay, in this class. All this is an introduction to what we're getting to, and next week, I promise you, we're going to be going full hill. I do want to give you a little bit of an idea of a basic Bible study that you can do without knowing. Okay, remember that many doctrinal errors have grown out of a lack of spiritual perspective or a narrow view of spiritual truth. The Savior says you are in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God. Okay, so what we want to do is we want to be like a detective. Okay. All right, what's the first number? The first thing that a detective does is he goes out and looks for clues. So when we're studying the Bible, what we're going to do is look for clues as to what God is teaching us and what we're studying. But he doesn't look at all the details right away. Okay? So one step at a time. So, preparing for Bible study. We need to schedule some time. We need to decide how much time you want to invest. These are questions you're going to have to ask yourself. This is part of your homework. So it's written as questions at the end, so don't worry about it for right now. Put the time down in your schedule. You want to block out a block of time because it's better to block out larger periods of time, 2 to 4 hours, than to try to study a little bit of every day. Okay, because what happens is you can get lost. If you're doing study and the Holy Spirit, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to really work in your life, he's going to give you a hunger and thirst. I can sit down, okay, and he just keeps driving me, I'm just wanting to soak something. And the next thing I know, I've spent a whole day on something else. Wow, is that great? And then I can start to apply it to my life, okay? And I'm not saying that's what you need to do, but it's better to do a block of time to study. If you're doing a devotional, okay, that's a short thing. That's a whole different type of Bible study, okay? You can use some of these same principles, though. Now, this one I found really fascinating when I got this, and this comes from an online source. Okay, probably the worst enemy of Bible study today in the Western world is television. Okay, mm-hmm. The average American home has TV on daily for 4 hours. The average American home has TV on yearly for 61 days cumulative over the year. Acts of violence watched by American children by the age of 18 is 200,000. And this is dated now, so it's probably a lot higher than that because it keeps getting worse. The average number of murders seen by American children at the age of 18 is 16,000. And some of them are pretty subtle. I mean, it's like, any of you familiar? I'm dating myself now. Okay, Roadrunner. Mm-hmm. Okay. What happens to the coyote every time? He's going after Roadrunner and he gets killed.
Everyone knows he's made of rubber. He doesn't die.
Okay, but that's starting to send messages to us, okay? And our kids are programmed by the time they're 18, okay, by seeing 16,000 murders on TV. By the age of 65, the average American will watch 9.5 years of TV. Okay?
That's a lot.
Okay. Now, when you consider...
I can hate that.
Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook's got to be on here.
Okay, this doesn't even include Facebook, okay, mm-hmm. or Twitter, or any of the other social things, which I know absolutely nothing about, except that there's a lot of stuff.
Twitter's more dangerous than murder on TV.
Yeah. Okay. Western Christians who attend Sunday school regularly from birth to age 62 will have a total of 4 months, not years, but 4 months of solid Bible teaching. Okay, compare that to 9.5 years of watching TV. Where is our viewpoint coming from? Okay, I can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and doing God's will if I've got a ratio of 4 months of looking at what God wants me to do and 9.5 years worth of thing. Now, I'm even worse than that because I'm older than 60. Okay. So one of the things we want to do is we want to have a notebook or a paper or some of you may prefer, I love 3x5 note cards because if I'm arranging them to do a study, I can put one topic on one card and flip it over and see what that's about and I can review it very, very easily. The other thing that's nice about this is I can continue my Bible study when I'm driving. Not while I'm operating the vehicle, but I keep the note cards in my pocket. Okay, ladies may want to put them in their purse or a pocketbook or a pocket or whatever. Whenever I get to a red light or whether I'm waiting in line at the supermarket or at the bank, the registry of motor vehicle, or you wait for years and years and years, okay, you can review your notes of what you're studying and ask God to show you what he wants you to learn from that. So I love 3x5 note cards. I would encourage any of you to use them. Okay, yeah, then you want to have the right tools, okay, which we were talking about. Now, we want to pray before we start studying, okay, and we want to have the right fellowship of God. We need to search our hearts before we search the scriptures, according to Rick Warren, okay, and we want to pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance in the studying, and that's from Psalm 119, verse 18, okay. What I'm going to do now is we're just going to walk through a very, very simple Bible study because the principles that we're going to be using in this are exactly what we're going to be using in the Bible study we're going to be doing for the rest of the course. So it's going to give us a chance to get our feet wet. Okay? We're going back to the same verse that we looked at before, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. We want to ask what words mean. And there are several ways we can do that. There's common usage. Okay? For instance, if the Bible uses the word gay, okay, what does that mean? It certainly can't mean that they're talking about the alternative lifestyle, can it? Okay. No, because there's another meaning. So common usage would tell us in one way. If we don't understand that, then we want to use a Bible concordance. Or define the word using a reputable dictionary. Now, we can start with... I heard that. Okay. Now, this brings up a really, really important point. All the while we take Bible study seriously, We don't have to be so serious that we can't laugh, that we can't have a good time. God wants us to enjoy basking in his fellowship. He wants us to bask in his word. He wants us to be with him. And that brings him great joy. So I think it's great. I have no problem with that at all.
Now,
so if I don't know what the common word is, okay, from the common use, I want to go to a dictionary. But there again, you have to be very careful. If you go something, Wikipedia can be really nice for a lot of things, okay? However, there's a lot of times if you look, scroll down to the bottom of the article, what the word says, these are unverified sources. So it's basically nothing more than somebody's opinion. Okay? There was a dictionary when it first came out. The original Webster's Dictionary is Christ-centered, and it uses examples from the Bible to explain what the words are. So that would be an exception. Be careful what kind of a Bible you use. Is it a conservative or a liberal kind of a Bible that you're using? A lot of Bibles today have become very, very liberal because they don't want to refer to God as a he, but it's a he, she, or whatever, you know? So be careful what you're using for Bible. So the next best thing, okay, which everybody I'm sure has right at the top of your Bible tools. A Bible concordance. Okay. Now, I bet this one here is, this one was given to me by the man who led me to the Lord back in 1979, Bill and his wife Linda, as a graduation present when I got my master's degree. So that's a real treasure for me. It's a King James exhaustive concordance. Now, basically, and I'll pass these around so you can see, they're set up a little bit different. The first part of the Bible, an exhaustive concordance has every single word in the Bible. Okay. Next to it, it's got a number. Okay. So then you go to the second part of the Bible. It's the Hebrew and Chaldee and Aramaic. Okay. You follow that number to the back of the Bible. And then that will tell you what the original word was, whether it was Hebrew, Chaldee, or Aramaic. Okay. Then it will tell you what words it comes from and give you some applications and stuff like that. It'll tell you where it is. Oh, the first part of the Bible not only has every word in the Bible, but where it's found in the Bible. Okay, so that's a really good. Then you go to back. Then the next part is the same thing for the Greek. You follow the number out to the back for the Greek. It gives you the Greek word in translation. Now, the NIV exhaustive concordance is set up a little differently. Again, it's got all the words at the beginning. Okay, every word in the Bible. And then it's got the number, which tells you whether it's Hebrew or Greek. And then you do the same thing. That's set up a little bit more. This is set up, the NIV is set up with lists to describe the words, okay? The King James is set up with a narrative. Okay? I will pass these around. Now, if you don't want to, you know why they call these exhaustive concordances? You get exhausted carrying these things around. I'll start this one around this way so you can look at them. These are things that you're going to commonly hear Christians talking about, and we're going to talk a little bit about that right now, okay? So the first thing is common usage, the second is dictionary, the third is the Bible dictionary, and then the concordance, would be another great one. Those of you that have cell phones, okay, mm-hmm. You want to find the word study, okay? If you go to Google, okay, you type in Google in the Bible. Not Google, you type in Google, you type the word study, okay? And it will come up. Or you type the word study in the Hebrew or study in the Greek, okay? And it will give you the same information, in fact, sometimes even more information than what you can find in these concordances. It's just tremendous how much information they have. So you don't have to worry about having a big concordance like that and not have to do a Bible study, okay? So get that out of your head, okay? Don't worry about that. Now we're going to continue. This is a short example of how to do a Bible study. again, the principles that we use here, we can use in the study we're going to be doing for the rest of the time that we're together, okay? For instance, now if you go back to that verse from 2 Timothy 3:14 on page 2, okay, I underlined, I picked out words in there that I thought I might want to know more about. So one of them is continue. Okay, if you look on page 3, continue to remain as one. And then it's got the G, it's a Greek word, okay, 3306. Okay.
Is that the page it's on in the back of the concordance?
That's the number that's in the back of the Bible. Yeah, okay. In the back of the concordance, yes. Okay. So I did that with a whole bunch of different words. Now, if you look at any one of those words, and what does this mean, and you start to look it up. Okay, sacred writings down next to the bottom of the first column on page 2, page 3. Mm-hmm. Okay, sacred writings. Well, what do they mean by that? I mean, the Hindi has sacred writings. Muslims have sacred writings. Okay, so what do they mean by sacred writings in this verse? Okay, sacred writings, scriptures, holy writing, the scriptures, okay, that's the God-breathed word of God, okay? And then wise for salvation, okay, there's a fourfold salvation. There's the penalty of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin, and the pleasure of sin, four aspects of sin. If I look at just wise for salvation, and then I plug that back into 2 Timothy, okay, how much more does that give me for that verse? So I can look at that and I say, okay, what do they mean by the penalty of sin? Well, I know what they mean by penalty of sin, right? Okay, Christ paid for that. What about the presence and pleasure of sin? So then I may start thinking about that. What's the pleasure of sin? Okay, sin has a good feeling in my life at some point, okay? Just like lust. Now, lust is also in a broader sense than sex, okay? Lust is anything that I crave after, anything that I desire that takes me away from Christ, okay? It can be power, it can be riches, it can be fame, it can be well-liked by other people, okay? So it's going to change, okay? So then I start to look at that. Now, everybody with me? Okay. Next, I'm going to briefly mention the tools for Bible study. Now, you want to have a good, complete library, okay? Okay, there's some for, Warren has identified basic library, a more advanced library, or then I added in online Bible study tools. And for those of you that are using the online, if you have some others, let us know, please. Share them with us, okay? I'd like to know more. Okay, if you go online to the BLB, Classic, okay, Bible or Blue Letter Bible. Okay, it has audio, it has visual, it has commentaries, dictionary, lexicon, maps, images, Treasury of David, versions of translations, daily promises, daily Bible reading program, and helps. Okay, and it's got an app that's available on Android and for Apple. Okay, that's usually my first stop because I'll go from there and I'll go to the seat of the concordance. I'll click on C for concordance. And once I get onto the concordance, that will give me the Hebrew word or the Greek word. First thing it'll do is give me the whole verse, okay? Then it'll end up telling me what word it is, and they're highlighted. So I can click on a word, the screen changes for me, and it's got what part of speech it is, how it's used, different meanings that it has, and everything else. That's a great tool to have. Okay, then I go to the Bible Gateway. Okay, Bible Gateway has 150 translations of a Bible. If I find a verse like the 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17, I just looked, I'll type in 2 Timothy 3:14. And what translation do you want me to? Okay, I'm going to go with the ESV. Okay, right? I can go with the. Joe, what's the translation that you is B-A. B-R-E, oh, N-A-B-R-E, the New American Bible Revised Edition is an official Catholic translation of the Bible. And it's got the Douay-Rheims also, which is an official Catholic translation. So, I mean, if it's an English translation, you can find it in there. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone to, like, NABRE or another translation. Once I find that verse that I want, I look at all the translations that I can. Because that one word, we talked about the one word being different. Well, that's what we're going to end up, that's what we end up doing. We look at the one, that one word, the different chance. Oh, that's what that means. And the light goes on over Marblehead. And I say, wow, I can't tell you how many times that I get blessed more but that way than most any other way. Okay? So that's got 150 different translations of your favorite verse. Okay? And then Bible Hub has the Apocrypha, Atlases, Bibles, Commentaries, Concordance, Devotions, Dictionary, Encyclopedia, Greek, Hebrew, Interlinear, which means in between, okay, the verses compared. It's pictures, reading plans, search, sermons, Bible study, Strong's, a timeline, which is also a fascinating way to study the Bible, as you look at the timeline. And we'll be doing that as we're doing our study in the next few weeks, okay? So I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned all of these. Okay? All set? So far? Okay. Then another one is Gut Questions. And this is a great site. I love this site. You Google Gut Questions, and then it'll ask you for your question. Okay? So one of the things I did, I'll be honest, okay? One of the things I did is I clicked on how to study the Bible. And it gave me some stuff, and at the end it gives me some nice references, who wrote it, where to go for more information, and then at the end, it's a really, really good source. Okay? Methods of Bible study. We're getting close to the big moment here. Okay. So next week we'll be digging in our heels there. I've identified through the different sites different types of Bible study that there are. So we asked people to complete a survey, and we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people that completed the survey. So I tallied it all up, okay? If you made a choice, you should be able to find it down at the bottom of page 4, okay? First choice and second choice. If it was a first choice, when you give you a first choice, it gets 2 points. If it's a second choice, you get 1 point. So I totaled it all up, and the one that came up by far, point-wise, the people were interested in studying is a chapter summary approach. So you're going to be spending the next 5 weeks. 5 weeks. Yeah. Okay. We're going to be studying the next 5 weeks doing a chapter study approach. Homework assignment. Yay. Teacher's favorite time of a class, okay? Homework assignment. The first thing you have to do, and you get to fill in the blanks right here so you don't have to look for paper or anything like that. Decide on the amount of time you will devote to Bible study each week. You don't have to do anything. Don't do it now. Do it. This is homework. Identify a block of time to study the Bible. Write down what block of time you have committed to Bible study. Place a notebook and pen or pencil or note cards where you will study. List the tools you already have. Okay, we mentioned a whole bunch of different kinds of tools. And then what I'd like you to do, if you have access to the internet, preview at least one of the online Bible study tools and identify the one feature that you will use. You think you'll be using the most. You're not going to restrict yourself to that, but just to explore something that we may not have explored before. Okay? Now, we're going to read through the selected chapter. See what it says? Read through the selected chapter 5 times this week. Next to that, put down Romans 8. Okay, that's number 7. Okay, read through the selected chapter. That's Romans chapter 8. Now, you have your fill in the blanks over there. The Bible chapter that we will study, can you give you another spot to put it down so that you be sure that you can find it easy, okay? Romans 8. Okay. Now, here's how we're going to read through it, okay? Day number 1, read through Romans chapter 8. And all I want you to do is write down one thought that God has impressed you with the most from Romans chapter 8. Okay? The second day, do not look back at what you wrote yesterday. Go to Romans 8 and you read it. What is the one thought that impressed you the most on the next day. It may or may not be the same one, and we'll talk about that and why that is next week. Okay? The third day, do not read the first 2 days. Read through chapter Roman 8, and then you end up writing down the one thought that impressed you. Does everybody understand this? What do you think of the homework assignment? Because that's the longest part.
Yeah.
So
for 5 days?
Pardon me?
For 5 days.
This is for 5 days. Yeah. Okay. So better that you get a couple of days so you can take a little bit of a break. So rule, the only chapter you're going to be reading is chapter one. I mean, if you're doing private devotions or something like that, following up on the message that's preached on Sunday. Because remember, Bible study is never an excuse not to be in church to hear the Word of God preached by somebody that's trained on how to preach. And we are blessed in this church with Vinny and with Joe. And I'm not saying that because Vinny's here. I would say that behind his back. Yeah, we are blessed. And also the elders. When I've had an opportunity to hear one of the elders, they've been a tremendous blessing to me also. So like I said, we've got some people in the church that really love the Word of God. So don't hesitate to go with them. I know we went through a lot. We didn't start Romans 8, but now we know where we're going to be headed. This is where we're going to be focused for the next 5 weeks. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about anything?